Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the non-remedial math department here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, you might remember that last week we had an embarrassing call from a truck driver named Richard.
Well, it wasn't it was embarrassing.
Well, anyway, here's what...
We thought it was embarrassing, but in retrospect, it wasn't embarrassing.
Here's what went on. He's a diesel truck driver, and his gas gauge had broken, and he was using a wooden dowel to figure out how much gas he had.
He had a cylindrical tank. You know, you've seen those semis by the side of the road or when you pass them on the highway. It's a cylinder, and it's laying on its side.
Yeah.
And there's a thing on the top.
And he put the fillers in the top. He put a stick in, and he knows the diameter of the tank is 20 inches, and he knows where to put the half-full mark, obviously, at 10 inches. But his question was, where do I put, most importantly, the quarter full mark? And I know, he says, that it ain't five. And then my brother says something like, oh, this is simple.
This is trivial. And I start draw a circle.
You want the answer right now, Richard? Can you?
Hold on a minute, I said. I can do, oops.
And then I guess then we realized that we needed to think about it for a minute. And I remember saying, this is a job for integral calculus.
Yes, and you are absolutely right.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are lots of ways to do it. I like the solution I gave Richard, actually. Find someone with a quarter of a tank and put the stick in his thing and mark the stupid thing.
Yeah, what does your gas gauge say? Quarter? Let me just put this stick in there for a second.
And in fact, I have the answer right here, which was provided to us by Doug Mayer's niece, who's some kind of a math genius, and we hate her. But she provided both a integral calculus solution and a solution using no calculus.
Oh, she
did. Using trigonometry.
Well, she's only one of about 1,000 people who sent us proposed answers, and many of them were correct.
But I'll tell you how we figured it out.
We actually got the right answer.
We have the right answer, yeah. And ours agrees with a lot of the other ones.
And I have to admit that left to our own, pardon the expression, devices, my brother and I would never have solved it.
Because
we couldn't find the integral of this thing.
Couldn't find my CRC book.
Find the CRC book, but I did find the integral on the internet. The internet is wonderful.
But we did use, with the help of my son Andrew and Tommy's daughter Anna, we did use her graphing calculator. And by using that, we said, find the area of the curve if the distance from the center is 3, 3.5, 4. And we finally came up with the answer that in order for his dipstick to work, he's got to be about 5.96 inches off the bottom.
Yes.
Is a quarter of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it seemed like it should have been a lot more than that. I would have guessed that a quarter would have been at 7 inches and not 6.
I would have, too. And that was my guess, if you recall. I think I said 7 and 3, and it was wrong.
Yeah.
So it tells you how bad your intuition can be. 6.
Well, at least you erred on the right side.
But 6 is pretty close to 5, which is what's so interesting.
Yeah, which is what Richie wanted to do in the first place.
Exactly. But in addition to all the mathematical solutions that we got, by the way, some of them, if you're really interested in this, and I'm surprised at how many people were, there's a lot of wonderful stuff at two websites. One is called mathworld.com, and the other one is mathforum.com. But we got some interesting solutions from people. They didn't use integral calculus. They used their heads.
Right.
This is the one that I like the best. Who is this guy? Tim Sierra is his name. Tim, you're a bleeding genius. He says, take a beer can. I'll paraphrase. Take a beer can. Pour it into 4 glasses so that the 4 glasses are equally high in the glass.
Right.
So you've separated the can of beer into 4 equal pieces. He says, drink 3 of them. Pour the 4th one back in the can.
And tip it on its side.
Tip it on its side. And
if you could see through the metal, you would know.
If you could see through the metal, you'd know where it would go. But you could also just make a little hole in the top of it and stick a straw in it.
Right.
Be the equivalent of the stick.
That's
and you would know what percentage of the total height it is.
Yeah.
That was, I thought, a brilliant, if not tasty, solution to the problem.
But if you want to see other solutions, you can either go to one of these sites or you can go to our website and look at...
Yeah, we'll have all of this stuff on there. We'll have
letters. Ad nauseum.
But it just goes to show you how what appeared to be such a simple little problem.
Remember your words like it was last week. Oh, it was.
This is trivial.
Oh, come on, Richard, we'll do it right
I'll do it right here. Can you hold on a minute, I said.
Well, anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, anything but integral calculus, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Dale from the Bronx.
Hi, Dale from the Bronx. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. But my car isn't so fine, unfortunately.
You have a wonderful voice.
Oh, thank you.
You should be on radio.
Oh, are you giving me a job?
Sure. You want a job?
Sure.
I'm looking for a new co-host.
That's funny. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, you know, I think I'm a little cuter than you guys are, so you know.
Oh, we know that.
Oh, yeah. Tom's MG is cuter than us. So what's going on, Dale, and how can we help you?
Well, I have a 94 Jeep Cherokee Sport, and it's a manual transmission. And I recently had my flywheel and starter replaced.
Oh, because you were getting that ding sound?
Every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now that I've had them replaced, I'm having trouble shifting. I have to force into second gear, and it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Well, they do have to take out the clutch to do this job.
Right.
Right. And in this vehicle, I believe the 94 has a release bearing and a slave cylinder that are integral. They're one piece.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. And
that means nothing to her.
Well, it's going to mean something to her.
Am I right?
Well, it means a little something.
Well, it's going to mean more and more as time. How much time? You got time? Can we talk? And when they took out the transmission and obviously removed the clutch to do this, they put this all back together. But in doing so, in removing it, they had to remove the hydraulic line that goes to the clutch slave cylinder.
And therefore, it would have leaked.
And they have to bleed it. They have to get the air out. And it's not so easy to get the air out of these things. There's a whole procedure. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the first one of these we did, we didn't know. I mean, we've bled clutch master cylinders and slave cylinders forever.
As you have often said, we learn by screwing up other people's cars.
Our customers' cars, not just other people's. So we put the thing back together, and one guy gets in and he pumps the clutch pedal a few times. And the other guy opens the bleeder and he says, okay, did anything come out? And the other guy says, no. And they do this, and 4 hours later, when they're still in there, I got kind of a hint that there was something wrong. And there's a definite procedure to bleeding this thing, which I bet you these guys didn't follow.
And I bet you they didn't either, and they're trying to give me a song and dance.
Where did you have the job done?
Oh, at a little garage.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you went to the local guys who have been working on your car for some time?
Well, I mean, I've had them do... Well, the other reason why I was a little hesitant about this is I originally took it in and got a bit wheel bearing replaced. And then when I got it back, all of a sudden, the starter didn't work. And now...
Well, that was probably not related.
Are you sure you got back the same vehicle? And do these guys actually have a building they work out of, or are they kind of just roam the streets?
Yeah, do they say, we'll come to you?
Oh, gosh, I wish they would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't take any special knowledge to replace a wheel bearing or a clutch or a flywheel.
Right.
But it does take some special knowledge to do the bleeding job.
Yeah. Now you said, is second gear really the only gear that's giving you trouble, or is it first and reverse,
too?
Yeah,
that was my question, too.
No, it's second is the one that I almost sometimes can't even get it into.
Oh, it gives you the most trouble.
Right. But third and fourth sometimes
okay.
do.
Okay. That makes much more sense.
And would it make sense that if the car is warmer, it'll shift easier?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, well, you know, I'm rethinking this now.
What you are?
I'm going to take a slightly different tack from my brother. I'm going to disagree with him completely.
I'm agreeing with you, so you're disagreeing with yourself.
I'm just going to disagree with myself. No, I think they might have done something as simple as putting the wrong transmission oil in the transmission.
Yeah, well, that is a possibility.
Too high a viscosity oil. They might have put the wrong stuff. I don't know what this calls for. It may even call for, believe it or not, automatic transmission fluid. And if they put the wrong stuff in there, if they put, 90-weight hypoid oil, then you wouldn't be able to shift it.
Wait, you're talking about the transmission?
Yeah.
Well, why would they have taken the oil out of the transmission?
Oh, they probably drained it out so it wouldn't go all over their chest. Remember that time you...
I remember all the times.
So they drained it out, and they maybe put the wrong stuff in there. So I would go back and tell them what the problem is. Tell them you suspect that they may have put the wrong stuff in, or they may not have bled the clutch correctly.
Okay.
And check it out. But they shouldn't charge you.
Okay.
And if they want to charge you, call us back. We'll call them. See you, Dale.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
1-888.
Isn't she a sweet young thing?
Yeah, that's why they took advantage of her. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ian, and I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Ian, what's shaking, man?
Oh, not much. I have a BMW 740 IL.
Ah, things are good for you.
Well, not so much.
No?
The car is all right, but it has some quirks to it that I'm still trying to figure out.
Like what?
Well, the main thing is when you first start it, when it's cold, after it's been sitting for about 2 hours or so and the engine cools off, when you first start it up, it coughs up a puff of white smoke. And it doesn't do it when it's running. It's fine when it's running. You don't see any kind of emissions whatsoever. But when it first starts, it coughs up that first puff of white smoke. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was parked somewhere next to a drive-through, and my puff of white smoke happened to go into somebody's window that was at the drive-thru. So that
and he passed out, right?
Yeah.
Keeled right over.
Close to passing out, probably.
Yeah.
How many miles on this car?
77,000.
Not enough.
Yeah. No, I think the puff of smoke
is
probably not white, but maybe blue.
I think it's white. You know why?
No.
Because that's what he said.
that would be...
And I have an answer.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you have an answer for black?
No, not for black, for blue.
Well, I have an answer for white.
Oh, yeah.
I think he needs a head gasket.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
You almost couldn't get worse news, Ian.
Yeah.
Unless you wait for my answer.
That's exactly what I was going to tell him. Unless you get my brother's answer, which is going to cost you 10 times as much as my answer.
Yeah.
So you can take any answer you want.
Well, I think it's more likely to be rings.
Yeah, and that's
rings.
Cheaper?
No, I'm saying you couldn't have a worse answer except for mine.
Except for yours.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'll stick with the other answer.
Well, I mean, how long has this been going on?
Well, the car was just a heck of a deal. I bought it about a month ago. It's been happening pretty much ever since I purchased the car. So I actually took it to the dealership for them to look at it.
Yeah, what did they say?
They said that it looked, one thing that concerned them was that it looked like the oil was kind of old, like it was contaminated. And so they went ahead and replaced the oil and used a synthetic, of course.
Mm-hmm. And, so that oil change cost you $150.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And so, and they said, well, that might fix it. If not, you might want to get it desludged. And so that was the only thing that they told me, and it kept right on doing it.
Okay, yeah. So they think that, in fact, the piston rings aren't worn out as much as they are stuck in the lands in the pistons.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think if you really study this smoke, I think you'll find out that it has a blue tinge to it.
Maybe.
Had this been a leased car?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was a leased car.
You know how many oil changes this thing had? None.
Probably right.
Yeah, well, especially when it had one. And then when the guy who leased it found out how much it cost, he said, we won't be doing that anymore. Well, BMW does have a thing now where they do all this stuff for free.
Right.
You know, and the reason they do it for free is that people stop doing it.
Right.
People went in for that $150 oil change, and they said, I'm not ever going to do that again.
Exactly.
And I'm only leasing the car, and in 2 years, I'm going to give it back, or 3 years, or whatever it is. And I don't care if it's burning oil when it gets to 77,000 miles. I won't be driving it.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so they had to start doing this for free because people just weren't doing it. And I think it was a smart move because they had all kinds of problems, I'm sure, with people buying these certified used cars and saying, hey, what the heck is this cloud of blue smoke out the back? You know, so you unfortunately got one that hadn't been, whose oil hadn't been changed enough. So this thing had one oil change.
Probably.
Well, now you did it once, so it said two.
Exactly.
And you may have to do another one in a short while.
But the good news is, from everything we've seen, that it can go like this for years. I mean, it may get worse, a little bit worse,
sure.
But it probably won't. And
okay.
It doesn't really affect how the thing runs. But I would try the desludging.
Okay.
You know, we used to do this in the old days by filling up the crankcase with half motor oil and half kerosene and driving like to Utica, New York.
It worked like a dream.
And we would drain the oil out like on the Mass Pike, like halfway back. And most of the time it didn't work. But man, that thing smoked and beat the band on the way out there. But they have a little more sophisticated equipment now, and it works a little bit better.
We did that in my Suburban.
See you again. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Oh, I think the first vehicle we did it to was my 62 Chevrolet, which was given to me by our pal Stan.
Oh, yeah.
And, boy, that thing burned oil.
Yeah.
And at its worst, it was a quart. You ready for this? Every 50 miles. I mean, it almost burned the same amount of oil as it did gas.
Oh, well.
But the car
was cheap.
The car was the right price, and I will confess that while it was fun trying that, it didn't work. When it gets that bad, you have no more rings to desludge.
No.
All right, Tommy, it's time to jog your memory about last week's Puzzler.
Maybe we should just take my memory for a walk first.
Sure, that sounds like a good idea. We'll start slow. Last week's Puzzler was about a missing dollar.
Okay, let's start by crawling.
Oh, never mind. Look, you'll have to stay tuned like everyone else and wait for the whole story, which is coming up, along with more car questions right after a short break.
Don't go anywhere.
We won't.
Well, I was cruising down the road in my Jetta GL with the radio blasting, irritated as hell. Cause a long line of traffic's really ruining my day when a rice burning four banger blows me away. Well, hey, little buddy, are you new in town? Or don't you know nobody runs my little Volkswagen down? Hey, little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord, gonna shut you. Nothing from Japan beats my German machine. She's the finest car on the four-door scene. Hey, little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord.
And even though companies that make sound-deadening acoustic tiles see their stock prices shoot up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's Puzzler.
And a great Puzzler it was.
We'll see. Here it is. There's this fellow who owns a record store in town, and he hires some pimply-faced high school kid to work on Saturdays, and he says to the kid, look, I've got one little extra thing for you to do. I've got some used records, some old 45s that I'm selling for my friend Sam.
Yeah.
There are two piles here. There are 30 records in each pile. You got that? And the kid says, yeah, you should 30 records in a pile. Now, the records in the first pile are two for a buck. In the other pile, they're three for a buck. Can you handle this, kid? The kid says, no problemo. These are two for a buck, and the other ones are three for a buck. The owner says, and by the way, keep the money separate so I can give it to Sam. Put it in this cigar box. The kid says, okay. At the end of the day, the owner comes back to the store and finds that all of Sam's records have been sold.
Yeah.
He opens a cigar box where the kid put the money, and as you would expect, there's 25 bucks in there. Why? Because the two-for-a-dollar one sold for a total of 15 bucks, right?
Yeah.
And the three-for-a-dollar one sold for a total of 10 bucks. 25
bucks. 25 bucks, yeah.
Well, as luck would have it, encouraged by the sale of these records that evidently nobody really wanted, Sam shows up next week with 60 more records and the same instructions. Three for a buck in one pile, two for a dollar in the other pile. The kid says, look, I noticed last week that people were taking three records from one pile and two records from the other. So how about if this week I just sell them all at five for $2?
Makes perfect sense to me.
The owner says, why not? So at the end of the day, the owner comes back. There's $24 in the cigar box. He says, hey, you're missing a dollar. The kid says, no, I sold all the records. The owner says, look, you're missing a dollar. There should be 25 bucks. I'm going to hear it from Sam. That chiseling old skinflint is going to want the dollar from me. The question is, is there a missing dollar? And where is it?
Yeah. How sweet it is, huh?
Well, there is a missing dollar and there isn't.
There's a dollar less than last week. We know that.
There's a dollar less than...
And the kid didn't steal it.
The kid didn't steal it. And you know who has it? The bellhop.
The bellhop.
Well, the kid had 2 for $1 and 3 for $1 piles,
yeah.
Right? So the first pile of records, they were $0.50 a piece, right? And the second pile, they were $0.33 a piece. And what the kid did is he added the numerators and he added the denominators too.
Yeah.
So he added 1 and 1 and got 2, and he added 2 and 3 and got 5. He came up with 5 for $2. But in doing so, he changed the price. See, the first pile of records was, they were 50 cents a piece.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other records were 33 and a third cents a piece. But making them 5 for $2, he made them 40 cents a piece.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens if he had, the first day he sold them, he had 25 transactions. But the second Saturday, when he mixed them all together and he sold them at 5 for $2, he only had 12 transactions. 5 times 12 is 60, sold all 60 records.
Right.
After the first 10 transactions, he had sold 50 records. Right?
Yeah.
For $20.
Yeah.
He had 10 records left. They were all left from the expensive pile because if people took 2 from the first and 3 from the second pile.
Yeah.
And he sold those last 10 records at 5 for $2, and he got $4 for those last 10 records.
Yeah, too bad.
And he should have gotten $5. And there's the missing dollar. And he made the mistake of averaging something that he shouldn't have been averaging.
Yeah. Or at least he got the wrong average.
He got the wrong average. Right. Instead of being 40 cents a piece, they should have been 41 and two-thirds cents a piece. They should have been 5 for $2.08.
Yeah.
And it becomes, if you want to do it, it becomes really graphic if you make one pile 2 for $50 and the other pile 3 for $1.
Yeah, then you know the difference.
And then you'll find out what happened. Anyway.
Wow.
Was there a missing dollar?
I spent, my brother calls me. When he has these puzzles, he calls me at about 10 o'clock at night. And he says to me, what's the mathematical reason that this doesn't work? So I stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out where the algebra is wrong or where the arithmetic is wrong. And I can't find anything really wrong.
No, the kid didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong.
He sold them
except
for
by adding 3 for $1 and 2 for $1. It sounded so good to
me. It still sounds good.
Still sounds good.
Who's our winner?
The winner is Sally Lukes from San Diego, California. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Sally's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, where she can get a set of CarTalk reusable grocery bags.
Yeah, I mean, instead of advertising the name of your supermarket on your reusable shopping bags, why not advertise that you have terrible taste in public radio programs?
Why not? Actually, it's not that bad.
No, on one side of the bag, in big letters, it says, my other reusable bag is from a good NPR show.
Well, that set of CarTalk reusable shopping bags can be yours if you want them for being this week's puzzler winner.
Now, if you didn't win today, don't fret. We have a brand new historic and folkloric and whatever puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. So stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Rick from Pittsburgh.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. What's up?
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I've been carpooling to work with a coworker for about a year now, driving a Toyota Corolla, and the drive to work is about 100 or 110 miles a day.
You're driving the Corolla's yours?
The Corolla is mine.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. We switch back and forth.
So you drive half a week, he drives half a week?
Yeah, exactly.
So on Wednesday, you drive in and he drives back?
Well, we work 4 days a week, so
okay,
that works
okay.
out.
Okay, got it.
Works out.
Yeah.
So about a month ago, I started getting some wheel vibration. And I also was getting the car was pulling to the right anytime I'd go over 60. You know, this is pretty much all interstate miles.
Yeah.
So to make a long story short, I eventually had to take it to the dealership. They told me I had 3 warped rims and 4 bad tires. This is after about 30,000 miles on these tires. So the dealership said they were able to beat out the rims. I did end up having to pay for 4 new tires and get a new alignment. So the wheel vibration has stopped, but the car is still pulling to the right. So my question for you guys then goes back to this fact that the guy that I commute with is a real big guy. You know, I weigh about 180, I'd guess. I don't know this for sure, but I guess he's about twice my weight, probably about 6'3", 6'4". You know, it's an obviously not a real comfortable ride for
him. Oh, he should be strapped on the roof.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. So my question is, you know, could this weight differential be causing some of these problems I'm having?
You think he weighs twice as much as you? Is that what you said?
That's what I would guess, yeah.
That would be 360, Rick.
Yeah, about 350 is what I would guess.
Oh, he's a big... So how do you get him in and out of the car?
Yeah, I get a stick of butter and some crowbars. Usually works.
So, but it pulls to the right whether he's in the car or not.
It pulls to the right regardless of whether he's in the car. And I notice when he gets in, there's an obvious shift in kind of the balance of the car towards the passenger side.
Oh, yeah, the whole planet shifts.
Yeah, right.
No, and I can see that it might pull to the right when he's in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm, right.
But if he's not there...
But if he's not there, it shouldn't pull to the right.
And there's no way that his weight... Mm-hmm. Could have done anything like bend the frame or, you know, throw anything so far out of alignment that it can't be corrected. I'm guessing they just didn't align it correctly.
You think?
Yeah, I think.
I think so, too, because alignment is what makes it pull.
Right.
As long as you're sure that the air pressure on all the tires is right.
Yeah, I've been, you know, real careful. I check it every time I get gas. So.
Okay. Take it back to the guys who did the alignment and tell them they didn't do it right.
Okay. All right.
Please.
All right. And also, so my question is, I mean... Is this car, I mean, should I be fine driving in this compact size car with the big guy? I'm in the market for a new car, so when I go out to look, should I be looking for something to step up? You know, I'm commuting a lot, so I want to keep the gas mileage good.
Well, you should get something that's commensurate with his weight, like an F-350. I mean, I think that's what that means, right?
Yeah, about 10 miles a gallon. Huh?
No, there's no reason why this car can't be okay. I mean, I think the thing that's most likely to suffer from his presence is the seat.
Okay, all right.
But the rest of the car is steel, man. It's heavy duty, and you know, and it's mother-in-law rated too. You know, you can put a couple of mothers-in-law on the back, and they could amount to 700 pounds themselves.
Yeah,
all right.
You know, so I think
it should be okay.
And don't forget, if you bent up the wheels too, that you might have to call into question the very driving you do.
You know, when I took it in, they asked me, you know, have you run over any deers or anything you've hit, you know, that would explain why your rims would be warped, you
right.
know. And for the life of me, I don't remember hitting anything that would cause any issues like
that. Who else drives the car besides you and...
My wife on occasion, but, you know, I would say I drive it 90% of the time.
Sure. Well, it's whatever happened, it's you.
Yeah, right.
It's mostly you and the Hulk, right?
And the Hulk.
Jeez. You know, I would go back, and if they are unable to get it aligned, I would take it to another shop. But I'm pretty sure that it's going to be in the alignment, you know.
And
tell the guys who are doing the aligning exactly what is happening.
You know, I would also have them check for a broken coil spring on one of the on the front struts.
Okay,
but
all right.
Not just the front. I mean, it's entirely possible that a rear spring could go undetected. You know, the bottom piece of a coil could be broken off.
Okay.
And this car also requires a four-wheel alignment.
Yeah, they did give it a four-wheel alignment.
Okay, well, make sure they do it again. I think they screwed it up. Good luck, man.
Great. I appreciate it, guys.
See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
350 pounds.
F-350, man. That's the car for him. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Rebecca Spencer, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
No last names,
Hi,
please.
Hi, Rebecca S.
See, you should never give your last name, because you never know where the conversation's going to go.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? I mean, anything could happen.
Right, it might be an
ex-boyfriend. An ex-boyfriend. You know,
but see, Rebecca has not. Her life is an open book.
That's what she thinks.
She has nothing to hide.
We all have our dirty little secrets.
Yeah, we're about to find out something.
And what's yours, Rebecca? It's just between you and me.
Oh, man.
So go ahead. Tell us your story.
I drive this 84 BMW, and it's a 325E two-door, and it's black. And I have this noise when I go into reverse. It just started. It goes, it's kind of like a rubbing noise, and it's not super obnoxious. And it's a similar noise that's going in forward now, but it's really, really subtle. And I hear it at, like, lower speeds. I don't know if it's because when I'm on the freeway, you know, it's just you don't hear as many things.
Okay, this is a stick shift.
Yeah.
And when you say when you put it in reverse, or you go in reverse?
When I'm going.
When you're moving.
Yeah.
Right, so as you put it into reverse, there's no noise.
Yeah, no noise.
It's when you let up on the clutch and you start moving.
Yeah.
That you hear.
It's when the clutch is out and I'm actually moving.
And does it speed up as you move faster?
No.
And it goes, woo, woo.
And now it's happening forward and reverse?
Well, it's more of a kind of, woo, woo, not so much of a, like, underwater noise, but kind of
and
a
it's not
noise.
It's not related, the frequency is not related to the speed of the car?
No.
I believe that. Now, this can't be the only noise this car has.
Actually, that's pretty much the only noise. Actually, the owner was an ex-boyfriend that I had.
How did we know we were going to get into the area of ex-boyfriends?
Right, how did you wind up with the car?
We're still friends. He's nice. He's had it since 85, and he's really, really, he's a perfectionist type person.
And how long
and
have you had
that's why
it?
You dumped him?
No. No.
They can be annoying.
No, those he's not annoying. He's really nice. Types. And he's probably going to be listening to this thinking, oh, my God, now the car's got problems.
So how long have you had it, Rebecca?
I've had it for probably 2 years.
2 years.
How did you end up with the car? Was there a prenup?
Well, he's really, really a sweet guy. And I had this 64 MGB.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I was going to college and it was really cold in the wintertime. So he had this BMW hanging around. So he just, here, go ahead, take it.
Yeah, just hanging around my foot. Never mind. He wants an excuse to be able to call you. Right?
True.
He needs an excuse to call you.
Well, they are good friends, she said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you broke up with Frank?
With who? I broke up with Frank.
Ernie. What should we call that?
Probably about 8 months ago.
8 months?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it's over yet.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Oh, no.
You do?
I think he's a special person. He's ready to move on, I think.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Is he a perfectionist?
Yeah.
He ain't ready to move. No.
Can we get back to business here before you start asking her about
clean rinse? How long did you go out with him before you broke up?
Probably about 3, almost 4 years.
Woof.
That's
one long time.
Yeah.
Here's my recommendation.
Kill me.
You give him the car back. That'll get rid of everything. And you go out and buy yourself a nice new Honda Civic.
Well, actually, I'm looking for a new car right now, but I wanted to take care of this noise, and I'm going to give the car back to him eventually.
Rebecca is not the Honda Civic type.
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, if she had one, she wouldn't attract guys like Frank.
Ernie.
I think it's a harmless noise.
It's harmless?
Yeah, it sounds to me like something, like a heat shield is vibrating.
A heat shield is vibrating.
The fact that it is not... doesn't increase in frequency as you speed up means that it's just something that's shaking somewhere. What's shaking?
It's, a piece of sheet metal that surrounds part of the exhaust system that's vibrating sympathetically. So you get this little and it'll, I bet you can get it to do it even if the car isn't moving.
I'll bet you could the same thing.
I've never heard it, though.
Well, because you're not revving it up typically when the car's not moving.
Oh, okay.
It could be other things, too. You could have, for example, a stuck emergency brake, and that would cause that same kind of noise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting on the exhaust system. I'll bet you there's a pipe that's barely touching
you
something.
You could have a pipe hitting the undercarriage. You could have a heat shield that's rattling. You could have a sticky brake caliper.
Got it.
Yeah. And the new Honda won't have any of these problems.
Okay.
Well, good luck, Rebecca.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And say hi to Ernie for us.
Frank.
Wow.
Look, we've got to take a break.
You know, most shows don't like to take breaks. I mean, they feel there's a risk that if they go away, even for a minute, they could lose listeners.
Yeah, but we know we consistently gain listeners when we go away.
Yeah, so call your friends and tell them it's okay to tune in now.
That's right, but tell them to hurry and enjoy the station because in just a minute, we'll be back with more calls on a brand new Puzzler.
There's a headrest poking out the TV set. Old license plates falling off the wall. car keys. We haven't seen these since this old engine began to stall. Began to stall.
And even though motorcycle racers lean so far into turns that they scrape their ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And
I think the new historic folkloric.
Yes, it's historic, it's folkloric, it's automotic. hopefully not idiotic or pathetic.
Okay, and go.
Anyway, this was sent in by Laura Adamson. This took place, she says, this is a little story she's going to tell us. It took place in the early 70s during the first gas crunch when there were long lines at gas stations and Toyota started looking really good to people who owned Detroit gas guzzlers.
Yes.
And she says, my friend Marianne lived in a rural neighborhood in upstate New York, and someone was sneaking around late at night in the inky shadows siphoning gasoline while the honest people were asleep. Yeah, well, anyway, Marianne and the sheriff got together and hatched a plan to catch the thief, and it involved using Marianne's car and its full tank of gasoline as the bait. And unlike lots of her neighbors, she did not yet own a locking gas cap, so her thing was very siphonable. And the idea was not to catch him with a secret alarm or by, you know, hidden cameras or wrapping the car in flypaper or anything like that, but just by allowing him to steal the gas and take it home for use in his own car. The thief did strike and siphon her gas, and it was the end of the gas thefts. The question is, of course, what trap did they lay, and what was it about Marianne's car that made it easy to figure out who the gas thief was? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
our fair city,
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Tonya, and I'm calling from Tucson.
Tonya from Tucson.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Is Tonya a nickname for Antonia?
No, it's just as it is.
Tonya.
Yeah.
I love it.
Tonya.
Yeah, my parents are good, huh?
Yeah, they're good, yeah.
Why'd you say unfortunately? You don't like Tucson?
No.
No.
I can't figure out why anyone would live here.
Why do you?
I'm in school.
What do you? Maybe you hate school and you don't hate Tucson.
One would think by now I'm working on a PhD, for God's sakes.
You are. In what?
In what, yeah.
It's called Arid Land Studies.
Arid Land Studies.
It's a new one on me.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the right part of the world, and I got news for you. If you're to pursue this, you ain't going to Honolulu to do it.
Yeah, talk
research.
About putting yourself in a box, Tonya. What are you thinking? If you don't like Tucson, how are you going to like the Gobi Desert?
So what is the most, I would say, profound thing you have learned that you might share with us?
Analysis of variance.
besides that.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, you know, Tucson's really gotten to you, huh? All right. Anyway, what's the matter with your car? Maybe we can work on that.
Okay. Well, it's not my car. It's my neighbor. And I have a disagreement with him over his choice of chemicals that he uses when he's working on his car and the methods that he uses to clean his car parts.
Okay. Oh. Where do you live, first of all, so we can get a visual imagery here going?
Okay. Well, we have carports that are next door to each other.
All right, so there you are. I'm with you now. Okay.
Okay. So he works on either his Chevy or the Datsun or the Bronco. Last time he was cleaning out the axle of his car with kerosene in an airbrush kind of thing, an air gun. And so I came home, and my whole house was filled with kerosene, the smell.
Oh, so he has like a compressor?
Yeah, exactly. He gets out the compressor, and he blasts everything with kerosene or with carburetor cleaner.
Oh, man.
So aren't there by now alternative chemicals that aren't so toxic, or isn't there a better way that he can do it? And plus, he doesn't wear a mask. He doesn't wear anything to protect himself.
Well, he's got no one to hide from.
He's not robbing a bank, is he?
Well, how
old is this guy?
50s. Not that old. Somewhere like 55, 50.
Yeah, I can see him.
And what does he do for a living otherwise?
He works for the city.
So he's home a lot.
Yeah.
No, actually, he works a lot. But he's home a lot on weekends.
Well, I mean, my first thought was not, are there other chemicals he can use? But my thought was, are there laws against this? And I wouldn't be at all surprised if you dropped a dime on him that he'd be locked up in no time.
Well, I also do work as a mediator, and I know that's really not a good way to go about it.
I don't think that's a good way to
approach
it. I
think you should go and talk to him.
I like him, and I have.
And
I read him the label, and I said, Bill, it says right here on the label, do not have prolonged exposure to your skin. And so you shouldn't be wearing those same pants that were saturated with it yesterday today.
Yeah. So he's a nice guy, and he's reasonable.
Oh, I like him, yeah. He's a good neighbor.
I think what you should do is, there are, for example, lots of solvents that don't use petroleum-based things like toluene and perchloroethylene.
VOCs, as we call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the petrochemicals.
So I think you should
buy them for him.
Exactly. Buy him a little Christmas present.
Okay.
For example, we use a brake cleaner now it's water-based.
Okay.
And it doesn't work as well as the CRC stuff.
Uh-huh.
Which has been, a mainstay for 105 years in the automotive industry.
Right.
But that's why most of us who fix cars are down to one or two syllables. so if you can get him away from this stuff and get him an alternative, that would be great.
Okay.
And next time there's a government surplus sale, go see if you can buy like a 4-foot diameter fan. One of those big babies, and just mount it next to your house.
But then it goes over to Connie's house next door, and that wouldn't be good either.
No, well, no. She could get one. Get two, and then you can just keep it right there in the middle.
Good luck, Tonya.
Good luck, Tonya.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Craig from Carlsbad, California.
Craig.
How are you?
Hey,
not
Craig.
Not bad.
I've got a burning question that's been driving me crazy for years. It's not unlikely for most Californians to own more than one vehicle.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that you have sometimes is you forget what side the gas filler pipe's on when you drive into the gas station. My question is, who determines what side the gas filler pipe winds up on?
It's done with a lottery system.
Okay.
Well, there are two schools of thought here, at least, that immediately come to mind.
Okay.
One is, if it's on the left, i.e. the driver's side, then when you pull into a gasoline station, you're doing the natural thing, which is you pull onto the right side of the gas pump, and the guy coming in the other direction pulls on his right side of the gas pump, and you guys are both on the correct side since we drive on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
The other school of thought is, and this is evidently why the Germans, and I know for a fact that the Germans have made a conscious decision to put it on the passenger side.
Right.
Because when you break down by the side of the road or run out of gas by the side of the
road. Which Germans must do a lot,
I guess. they do this a lot. Then when you're filling up the tank with that little can, putting in that gallon, you won't be standing where the semis are going by.
Uh-huh.
Which slide down the 20,000-foot abyss below.
Yeah, right.
I mean, personally, where I come out on this one is on the side of it being on the driver's side. Because, I mean, how many times are you going to run out of gas and have to fill up from the highway with the semis? Oh. And The other thing is evolutionary biology will tell you that it'll only happen once.
Right.
And we'll be getting rid of the people. It's natural selection at its finest.
It is indeed.
It makes sense to me. I don't know why. But
I think it should be on the driver's side.
Well, I think they all should be on one side or the other, but it's not possible because cars, even though they look it, are not symmetrical.
Right.
Because of the need to put an exhaust system and whatnot underneath the car, which is only on one side. So it does limit manufacturers as to where they can put the fill.
Well, my neighbor, he's got two Toyotas, a truck and a car.
Yeah.
And his truck, the filler's on the right side along with his exhaust pipe. His wife's car, her filler's on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Well,
to
none
it.
Of this was an issue until they came up with the vapor recovery. Don't you remember the old days you'd go to the gas station? If you screwed up,
right.
The guy would stretch that hose to the other side of the car.
Ah.
But none of those hoses are long enough now to stretch to the other side of your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't see a solution here except a new government agency. Yeah. But we're going to be working on this, Craig. Rest assured.
I'll be sleeping well tonight.
See you later.
All right, guys. Thanks for your help.
Hey, bye. Thank you.
Take care.
Well, I thought I Carlsbad
add,
was in New Mexico.
There's one there, too. I should add that some manufacturers are nice enough to put a little arrow on the gas gauge.
Yes, that tells you where the heck the stupid thing is.
Yeah, Fords do it. I don't know who else does it. I see it on Fords all the time, and it's great because we test drive all these cars, and whenever I get one from Berman, it needs to be filled up because it's on fumes.
You pull into the gas station, and you don't have enough gas to change to the other side.
Oh, you have to change directions. You're done for.
Right?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Dara, and I'm in New York City.
Dara?
Mm-hmm.
From Manhattan?
From Manhattan, mm-hmm.
Hi, Dara.
Hi.
And you have a car?
Well, that's the problem, is that I have a car. I just moved to New York, and I have this beautiful, fabulous car up in Massachusetts, in North Adams, where I was living.
Uh-huh.
And nobody wants to buy my car. I can't sell my car.
What is it?
It's a 91 Crown Vic. Bright red. It was a fire chief's car.
Uh-huh.
And it's in excellent condition. And, you know, I love the car.
Where have you advertised?
Well, I advertised in the Berkshire Eagle, in the Penny Saver. I put posters up around the college campuses.
How much are you asking for it?
$1,800.
Did you put an ad on the web?
I did not put an ad on the web.
That's where all cars are sold now. I think.
Nah, I don't know about that.
I think. I mean, for one thing, you'll get a much wider area. I mean, it's the situation, I think, is there just aren't enough people out there in the Berkshires where you
well,
where
not
your car
only
lives.
That, but some cars cannot be sold. And it may be...
My brother's been trying to sell a car for 2 years now.
Well, it may be that you can't sell this car no matter what the price is. And I'll give you the little story of my older son, Louis, went out and bought a Firebird. And
was it from a woman named Donna?
No. He changed his name to Donna. And he bought this thing, and he realized after a while that it was a stupid vehicle because you couldn't drive it most of the time. But the thing was beautiful. It was an older car, but it was in beautiful condition. I mean, the car had never been driven in the winter, and it had all kinds of fancy...
Couldn't drive it in the winter.
Well, you couldn't, quite obviously, but it had been covered up whenever it was parked. I mean, no bird droppings had ever landed on this car. It was pristine. So he puts it in the paper for, I don't know, $6,000, which was a wonderful price, and nobody bites. Nobody even calls. Mm-hmm. He drops it to $5,000. No one calls. He drops it to $4,000. No one calls. He finally... He wants to give the car away. Nobody wanted it. So there are some cars which can't be sold because there aren't any buyers out there.
There's always somebody out there. There's always
well,
somebody out
My brother's
out
right.
There.
You do have to widen your area.
Do you think that there's something, it has a spotlight? I mean, it's kind of got a certain personality, you know? It's just like, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be appealing.
I'm telling you.
Did you put the fact that it had the spotlight in the ad?
I did not put
that. Oh, man, this is what you... That's what's going to appeal. Nobody wants a Crown Vic. You're absolutely right about that.
Why not?
But to have the former fire chief's Crown Vic with the spotlight, man, you put that on the web and... The thing will be gone in a week.
Right. Some
really?
Nut in New Hampshire will buy it.
you gotta have enough. Yeah, that's it. You gotta widen your area so that it includes New Hampshire. And you can be guaranteed that there will be some wacko that'll call you up.
Yeah, some wannabe law enforcement type.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you put in, you advertise this in New Hampshire, it'll be gone in a day.
You know what you could do? Include the hat. Maybe if you could go to a yard sale or something and buy the hat
and a Dalmatian.
And the fireman's outfit and a Dalmatian, you'll sell this thing in no time. Marketing is everything, you know?
In fact, you know what? Advertise just the Spotlight. Spotlight 1800.
Spotlight for sale. Comes with Crown Vic. Attached to Crown Vic. Crown Vic free. Spotlight $1,800.
Good luck, Dara.
See you later.
All right. Thank
yeah,
you.
All right. She sounded happy.
No, it'll cost you $20 to put the ad on the web. It'll be the best $20 you ever spent.
Or at least you get a lot of funny emails. See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'll do that.
Bye.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy, Frogman, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher. Thank you, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Innisfree, Chicory, Bumblebee, Double Brie, Turkey Knee, Pinot Gris, Bubble Tea, and Pepsi-Free Jamboree, and Supper Spree, is John Bugsy Lawler.
He does hang them together, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the flute players butchering Unchained Melody in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1046, trot through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, Car Talk is finally Twittering.
Yeah, it took us a long time to figure out what to do with our Twitter account. For a while, I was just using it to send my wife additions to the shopping list.
Yeah, but we've got it now.
Yeah, we do. So for up-to-the-minute Car Talk news and wisecracks, follow Car Talk on Twitter.
I wouldn't follow Car Talk anywhere.
I wasn't talking to you, you dope. Check out our most recent tweets at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though thousands of travelers sign up to be stranded on a cruise ship off Mexico, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.